Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good evening and welcome to Fermanapatty on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
I'm Mary Izette.
And I'm Chris Kuzmi.
And we're your co-hosts through this weekly journey of all things fermented on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
We are air live every Monday at 7 p.m. and are also archived on HeritageRadioNetwork.org and iTunes.
So what do we have coming up, Chris?
What do we have coming up? Well, we've been talking about it for a couple weeks now, but once again, we're going to put the announcement out there. We are hosting a chocolate and spice fermentation competition, and it will be held on December 8th at Jimmy's number 43. If you would like more information about that and how to enter it, please visit Jimmy's NO43.com, and you will find the link to all things to that regard, because I don't think we have our website.
No, it'll be up there though tomorrow, I swear.
Okay, well, as soon as you know, you can also find it at fermentaboutit.com, but in the meantime, go to Jimmy's NO43.com and check out the events section for December 8th, and you can sign up for it. Or if you'd like to attend, please come on down. It'll be in the afternoon between 1 and 4. There'll be different prizes, and we'll be including Divine Chocolate USA, and we'll give you the chocolate for free if you'd like to ferment anything with it. Look forward to it.
I want to give a shout out to Kombucha Brooklyn. I went to their they have a monthly happy hour, and I went last Tuesday and met Erica and Jessica, who founded the company, as well as Chris, who is the primary SCOBY farmer. And I got their new book, which is appropriately titled Kombucha. It's an absolutely fantastic book. It has everything that you need to know about raising your own SCOBY and creating your own kombucha, as well as a ton of recipes. We're hoping to have them on the show in maybe 2 or 3 weeks. We don't have an exact date yet, but stay tuned.
Today on the show, we're very excited. We have our friends Rob Kolb and Anthony Accardi from Transmitter Brewing Company. How you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for having me here.
What is Transmitter Brewing Company? You guys are so polite to each other. It's awesome. We'll get the conch shell out and go for it.
It's going to be a nano brewery located in Long Island City. We just signed a space right underneath the Pulaski Bridge. So
that's how long have you guys been brewing?
Anthony's been brewing for
20 years.
20 15 years.
Years?
Yeah, yeah.
And we started brewing together about 2 years ago.
About 2 years ago. And what kind of things do you do? Why the brewery? Why now?
Why now?
How big now? How small now? How the now, brown cow?
We're definitely headed towards sort of rustic farmhouse program. We want to age in oak and bottle condition a good bit of it. Working towards that. We're going to start with 2-barrel system and go from there and see if we can grow it organically and make it happen.
I like how organically you're going to do it. We were talking just before we started here. You guys are going to build this, the brew house part of it. Rob, you're going to be doing most of that action
right
for the start?
So we're currently brewing on a 25-gallon system, which is all electric, and hot and cold side is all computer-controlled.
Mm-hmm.
So we can change fermentation temperatures remotely on the web, as well as set up processes to come on before we go into the brew house.
That's fantastic.
So we don't have to get there and turn stuff on. It's on when we're there. And I'm sort of going to move that and make it just bigger.
Yeah. So as a 2-barrel brew house, how many fermenters are you going to start out with?
We'll start with 4 fermenters and 1 or 2 bright tanks. We're still deciding on that.
That's pretty exciting.
So let's talk a little bit about farmhouse ale. So what do you mean by, we have, we all know of some kind of farmhouse style breweries, but what do you guys mean by that? What are your goals?
I mean, I love Belgian and French yeast. I love yeast, really. I'm definitely yeast forward when it comes to making beer. So I think it starts with the yeast. And, you know, the good thing about farmhouse ale is it doesn't really mean anything. So if we slip a hoppy farmhouse ale in there for people that like IPAs, well, it's all fair game.
Yeah.
We're not so interested in spicing stuff overly. Like, I'd like to try to coax yeast to make some of spice flavor by varying how we pitch it and what yeast we use. So so in some ways we're keeping it really complicated, but we're keeping it sort of simple as well. I'd like to use some, you know, we definitely like to use some other grains to mix in, because they can add some of that unusual, sort of untouchable, unknowable spice flavors.
Like what grain? Like spelt and...
Spelt or rye or, yeah.
Quinoa?
I have not ever done quinoa.
I want to try it.
Big, long protein rest, probably.
Yeah. But,
So yeah, I mean it's an open. It allows us, I think, to be open and have fun with it, and it feels to me like there's no one in New York right now that's specifically headed in that direction. Everyone touches it,
mm-hmm.
For sure, because I think people really love it. I mean, certainly as brewers, I think we love it, so it feels like there's room for that right now in New York City.
I agree with the yeast forward, just playing with what goes on. You have, I talked about this also before. I try not to talk too much before the show because I'm just like, when we get the show, we talk about it, we keep it for short. But still, it's so exciting. The pictures on your Facebook page, you have some very, to some would be very extremely scary, and to some would be very exciting, of pellicles. Are you going to do sours? Are you guys scared of using that in the brew house? Or are you going to make that part of everything?
No.
Day one.
Day one for the funk.
Right. I'm in touch with some yeast ranchers, and so we've been collecting and working on keeping those yeasts, and I keep slants and plates of it, so I'm ready to go. So right now I have 25 of those Brett's in-house waiting to be pitched into an experiment from a yeast rancher in Switzerland.
Wow. And you have slants. Tell us what you do at home with these, and when you get one, do you propagate them up? What's your process on, and how do you control in your house, and how do you not cross-pollinate
contaminate?
Yeah.
Slants a tube with a little bit of heart, you know, jelly in the bottom, essentially, sugar water, jelly. I've done it for a long time and just try to be super clean and aseptic about it. Use flame, and I do culture up from just a loop of yeast into 15 milliliters of starter, 150 milliliters of starter, 1.5 liters of starter, and you just grow it up. At this point, I count. I look at it in a microscope, make sure nothing's too weird, you know, like there's nothing extraordinarily contaminated about anything. That's all pretty straightforward and easy to see.
So are you typically sticking to yeast, to different varieties of yeast, or are you also incorporating bacteria as well?
Right now, it's mostly yeast. Okay. I mean, you know, sour is lacto, but... I haven't ever made a lambic, so I haven't ever done pediococcus or, you know, those kind of flavor profiles.
So you're talking more of Saccharomyces, Brettanomyces, and are there any other yeast that I'm missing?
Lactobacillus.
Yeah. Which is not bacteria, yeast. Right?
Bacteria, yeah. Right. No, that's kind of it. I mean, I started experimenting with wine yeast in beer to see what I can coax out of that, what that means. Wine yeast doesn't really like maltriose, so... There are some complications in using wine yeast that way, but so far it's been really promising and really interesting to pitch wine yeast into beer and taste it against that same beer with the normal beer yeast. Really kind of fascinating, like more different than you would get from using, say, an English and an American. Like it sort of takes it another step outside of that realm.
And what are the major differences, like in aroma compounds and flavor compounds and body or dryness?
Definitely body. It feels actually like it might have, they generally feel somehow like they have more body, even though they tend to be, if the measurement is thinner, you know, you're
fermenting to a lower gravity, or final gravity is lower.
And so that's kind of intriguing. Like all of a sudden you're getting mouthfeel that is yeast driven, literally. There are some explanations for that, which I'm just sort of figuring out. But a yeast we just had the chance to taste yesterday, like fermented really clean with, 1762, like a straightforward Belgian Abbey yeast. With the wine yeast, all of a sudden it had this really intense pepper and clove flavor that was fascinating and much different clove than you would get from like a German wheat beer yeast.
Mm-hmm.
Very sharp. If you would bet your life that you were tasting a beer with clove mixed in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what'll be interesting is blending. I think it's going to be, you're going to use wine yeast and you're going to start to be like a winemaker and need to blend it to get the flavors balanced again.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go back. So you're experimenting with wine yeast as well as a variety of beer yeast. I'm kind of going to skip the Switzerland until after the break. So tell us about another source of yeast that you've been playing with, because you're playing with all these yeast cultures and...
Right.
Really, I don't know very many other people that are doing that. So from, you know, because we keep hearing of these people around the country and now around the world who are kind of starting their own mini yeast farms and sending it out. I mean, that's how Al B from East Coast Yeast got started. He was sending it out through the Burgundian Babel Belt. And I think more and more of that's happening. So where's another source of your yeast and what are you finding?
There's a guy named Dimitri here in Brooklyn who's culturing yeast from beers and successfully isolating them and then handing them out to people in the neighborhood, essentially. There's a small company that seems like they've just opened or they're just becoming commercial in South Carolina. I think there are another half a dozen people that are willing to share yeast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, throughout the U.S. as yeast ranchers. And, you know, something like Crooked Stave is solid bottle, you know, it's all available at the bottom of their bottle as well. You know,
yeah.
You get like some of the, you know, some heavy duty Brett research in every bottle of,
you know, Crooked Stave. Have you cultured from the bottle?
Yeah.
So what found from the bottles that you've cultured
Stave? Right now I only have, because it's sort of new enough to New York that I only have a little jar of it sitting there waiting to be sort of pushed further.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the Hop Savant beer that they make, so I'm excited to just see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, Westbrook does some pretty beautiful things with Brett.
There's a company in San Francisco that's about to open that's working with White Labs to produce these farmhouse and some Brett strains that we're interested in finding, but I think any day now they're ready to launch it.
Launch.
I can't remember the name.
Have you guys been able to get anything from them, or you're just anticipating?
No.
They haven't released anything yet.
It's all going through White Labs.
Okay.
So it's a commercial. It's not just a couple guys
in a
garage.
Right.
We find this stuff all at the ends of the internet, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's like, oh, look at that. You like click a link, and all of a sudden you find yourself at a yeast company, you know,
right. Or some guy's blog that's offering,
right, or some guy's blog, yeah,
right. We have a bunch of the East Coast yeast as well that
we've been
messing around with.
Very cool.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with the guys from Transmitter Brewing Company.
Cool.
you want to taste the finest beer and spirits from over 125 breweries and 30 distilleries, The Craft Experience, the most exclusive craft and spirit tasting event in New York, hosted by great brewers, is available to the public for the first time ever. Join your fellow beer and spirit enthusiasts on Wednesday, November 13th in Manhattan to mingle with the superstars of the craft beverage world. Tickets are available now at www.thecraftexp.com.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
Welcome back to Ferment About It on heritageradionetwork.org. We're here with Rob and Anthony
of Transmitter Brewing, a brewery in planning and soon to be in Long Island City, New York.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit more about the birth of how funding is going. We talked there. You can own part of this brewery for 6 months or a year at a time. And how do we find out more about that? What is that? And how do we find out about that?
So we plan to do a community supported brewery where people, just like a farm, they can sign up and get a weekly delivery of beer. So we'll have different places where we'll drop off, and they can decide how many bottles they want. And every week or every 2 weeks, depending how it works out, they'll get a couple new beers.
And you guys are taking signups for that now?
We're going to start taking signups. That there's some legality about taking money for alcohol, and the feds really don't like you to do that.
What is your website?
It's transmitterbrewing.com, and our Facebook page is Transmitter Brewing.
That's where those fun pictures of pellicles are, by the way.
Yeah.
They're pretty great pictures of pellicles. They scare the hell out of me.
So, speaking of pellicles, so you guys are doing 100% Brettanomyces beers. So, Brettanomyces, as most of you know, is a variety of yeast. It's not a bacteria. So, talk about kind of your experiments with that, how you find that it differs from the standard Saccharomyces that we use to brew beer, and any suggestions that you guys have.
Excuse me. You know, Brett on its own as 100% ferment is really interesting because it actually keeps the funkiness in check a bit, which is lovely. You know, sometimes you get more fruit forward out of 100% Brett, and that keeps people like my wife happy. And in terms of 100% Brett, you know, it acts a lot like Saccharomyces. It ferments quickly. It starts quickly. We finish beers in, you know, we can finish 100% Brett beer in, you know, 10 days, 2 weeks. It's really not tricky at all. You just have to make sure that all your plastic is marked for Brett only. You know, buckets or anything that's plastic, tubes or so far it's been fun. I mean, it's also fun to do, like, we've had really good success with using like a DuPont yeast and actually let it stall where it wants to stall, which is for us is about 1035, you know, like 8 Play-Doh or 8.2 Play-Doh, and then add Brett as secondary, and it gives, like, the Brett, it's a really nice balance between the DuPont yeast and like a Brettois or Brett Brooks. Really pretty tasty combination.
Now, as far as using Brettanomyces as a primary ferment, do you find that you don't get any longer lag time than you do with Saccharomyces?
Oh no,
you haven't been. Because I know that's one thing. I mean, depending on the strain of Brettanomyces, but that's one thing that breweries have.
It also has to do with your starter amount.
Your pitch rate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Are you using do you have a different pitch rate than? You guys using a different pitch rate or?
I pitch like a lager when using.
So
Brett,
a little bit higher.
A little bit higher than standard.
Yep. Okay.
Not huge because it gets to be logistic really hard.
You're throwing 3 weeks of bread.
Yeah. No.
It is, the starter is slower. Making the starter tends to be slower. It takes longer for it to sort of grow up. But that doesn't seem to translate to the beer, oddly enough. Like, mm-hmm. it really chews through the beer really quite nicely. So, you know, the Brett Trois, I mean, we haven't done 100% Brett with all the possible Bretts, obviously.
Right. There's a lot. It seems like there's more lot. Every day.
Yeah. I'm part of this. I joined up with this international experiment of testing from a lab in from a guy in Switzerland on a Eureka Brewing blog, and so I have 25 Bretts in house now
that he sent.
Mm-hmm. He sent 20.
Now, where did he get? Because I, for people who haven't visited the website, where did he come up with, or where did these breads derive from?
He cultures them from the bottom of famous beers.
Okay.
Lambics and.
And then is he isolating each?
He isolates each one.
Okay.
Yeah. Which you can do with a lot of effort.
And time.
Thank God he's doing it.
Yeah.
Somebody's got
there, it. I mean, there. You know. Cantillon has isolated upwards of 8 different Bretts, not including anything more than that. Mm-hmm. So from a single or a couple bottles, some of those may, you know, it's likely that some of those are going to make not such great beers on their own. You know, right. You may find that like half of the tests are meh. You know,
right.
So,
and those are part of the 25 that you have going right now.
Yeah. With that, I've added all the commercially available so that I can taste those against what's cultured. Mm-hmm. So we really want to have a codified library about what all this stuff will do and what it tastes like and how we can best leverage its flavors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, it may be that you need to start the next level of experiment for me will be ferment with yeast and then pitch it as a secondary and see what happens there. And then you go to just bottle condition with it. I mean, it's totally open. It's totally plastic and malleable as to how it's all used. And
do you have interest in blending some of these Brits, like using 2 or 3 different strains of Brettanomyces and primary fermentation to see what happens too, I assume.
I mean, again, I think once you're in this world of sort of beer and yeast exploration, I think blending has to be, mm-hmm. you have to leave that open for sure. Like, I think you'll back yourself into a corner if you're not willing to start blending stuff together and see where it puts you.
Yeah.
You know, you can't throw away everything that's, you know, that has possibility. I mean, possibility, mm-hmm. but it's not right. And so...
Yeah, well, something might not be right on its own.
Exactly.
You could have one, you know, one aroma or flavor that's too powerful, but yet, you know, when you blend it in, it balances it out.
Right.
Sure, absolutely.
It's very wine-like, where these, you know, vintners take lots of different grapes and blend them for a reason. It's mm-hmm. not... They're not blending them just for the fun of it.
Absolutely. So tell us about, you guys just poured us one of yours. Tell us a little bit about this beer.
This we brewed a few weeks ago, so it's just on the cusp of being ready. Mm-hmm. It's actually one of our, it's very straightforward beer for us. It's just a Belgian blonde with Nelson Sauvin hops, straight mm-hmm. up. We use this in our... as a starter to make a bunch of yeast for Christmas beer. So we went in, I really love the Roquefort yeast. So it's 1762. It's got a phenolic alcohol thing that, I'm strongly attracted to. And, so we brewed, you know, 25 gallons of this, made up a gallon of, beautiful yeast slurry. And then the, 2 weeks after that, we brewed 45 gallons of, you know,
quad with 20, 25 pounds of candy sugar.
Yeah.
A big daddy.
Yeah.
That will be ready for next Christmas.
Yeah.
Right. So, That was the first beer we put in that new fermenter.
Nice.
That's
okay.
It went crazy. It like shot up in temperature, like, you know, really fast, really quickly, I think, from all the sugar. It was quite fascinating to watch. And so it's plotted on the internet, and we're both sitting at work, and all of a sudden
see the lag. It's, you know, a straight line, and then all of a sudden you see the temperature spike 10 degrees in 4 hours.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's kind of
fermentation. Yeah.
That's exciting. What's the grist on this? Is this just straight up Pilsner?
Pilsner and...
some wheat in there.
Some wheat, yeah.
It's pretty straightforward.
And it's showing that Nelson Sun.
That's
what's shining.
That white wine. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's super juicy. Speak about lots of kiwi in there.
Mm-hmm.
I love Nelson Sauvin hops.
Mm-hmm. People either like it or not, I think.
Right, I think it's one of those hops that not everyone can appreciate.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Especially when it's, you know, single hop.
It's very polarizing. Kind of like, I find Sriracha Ace is also polarizing for people. Mm. So, I know you guys have done some 100%, several 100% Brett beers in the past. What are some of your takeaways, or what have you learn from that you're bringing into a commercial brewery space?
You have to be careful with bitterness, because the Brett will dry the beer out, and so you can add a ton of hops over top, but it seems hard right now to make a 60 IBU Brett beer.
Right.
It's bracingly bitter in a way that is probably a bit too much. There's no malt left to balance it. It seems to play well. I'd like to try this beer with the Brettois and make the same beer with Brettois. I think it could be even juicier.
Mm-hmm.
From the Brett. Sanitation, I think, is sanitation. You always have to be clean. Like, no matter what you leave in, if you're leaving anything in your equipment, it's always going to cause troubles, whether it's Brett or not. Like, I mean, I imagine in a production brewery, that becomes much, much scarier at, you know, 30 barrels of beer that might become contaminated. But it's not anything where we've been afraid of, so...
It's great.
The other interesting thing is we did a wit 100% Brett, and at an early drinking it early is you don't even know it's Brett at all.
Yeah.
And now it's getting on 6 months old, and now it's starting to get a little bit funky. So it's, you kind of have to think about, well, are you sell this beer really early, or if people hold on to it, it's going to change. So it's not like a beer that's going to be, you know, the same all the time.
Right.
So it's kind of constantly evolving.
Right.
And people have to understand that about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's living, right? I mean, the yeast is there living. So that's something interesting to think about. Like, you almost want to, you have to educate people that this is going to change. Like, you may like it now, you may like it better in 6 months. It's your call, but we'd like to, but that's part of the fun, is like helping people understand that, and give them a chance to taste it both ways or all the ways, you know? So
this is very exciting. So when do you think you'll be selling officially?
It looks like best case would be, March.
Yeah.
Probably April.
All right. So just after my birthday, around that time. That's all I want.
Now, you guys did a tasting at Green Pointers.
Like, Green Point Fall Market.
Yeah, the Fall Market. Do you guys have any other events or tasting kind of things that you have planned or are thinking about doing?
They have since scheduled a winter market in December.
Great.
So that's December 8th in Green Point. As I said, it was super fun to go out and spend a day handing people samples. You know, we can't sell beer,
mm-hmm.
which people taste it and they don't understand, like, but you're here to sell, they think, you know? It's right. Like, no, we can't. It's not worth it. So we're going to do the same thing. You know, we made up a bunch of coasters and hand people something that they can walk away with at least. But
yeah. Sure. Keep it in their heads for next spring.
Right.
So when, that's going to be December 8th. And where is it? Is it the same place that it was?
They've moved it right next door. It's in Greenpoint on West Street. Okay. It's greenpointers.com, and it's on our Facebook page.
Yeah, and we'll put links. I will really update the website, I swear. So we'll put links to all of this, to your Facebook page as well as your website.
Okay. Great.
And then everything that we've talked about.
Cool.
So any last tips you guys have for people that are interested in kind of brewing with Brett out there?
Don't be afraid.
Yeah. Don't be afraid.
Don't fear the Brett.
I agree. Well, thank you guys so much. Please follow them on Facebook or check out their website, transmitterbrewing.com. And I look forward to, you know, Chris and I both look forward to tasting your stuff in the future and being able to buy your beer.
That's right. Excellent. For men about it over here. Yeah. For men about it.
For men about it.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.